Hey EcoHeroes, at the start of every year, I like to reflect on the key highlights of the previous year, both personal and professional highlights. I do this because I always find that looking back fills me with such a massive sense of achievement and pride, but it also helps me to decide where to channel my focus for the year ahead. Sure thing, I look at my wins, but I also look at my hurdles, and I'm always amazed at how the hurdles seem to be at the stages of my biggest growth and breakthroughs in business and in life. Plus, I also review my data, whether it's website stats on what content is being digested the most, or what you tell me in my annual survey that you want me to focus on more for the year ahead. So, in this Eco Chat episode, I'm going to pull back the curtains and I'm going to do a review on 2015, the year that was for me, and I'll let you know a little of what I have in store for you in 2016. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Eco Chat podcast. I'm your host, Laura Trotter, and I'm here to show you how you can create an eco-ceptional life you love without compromising your lifestyle. Tune in for inspiring interviews with real-life eco-heroes, plus my own theories, thoughts, and tips for sustainable living. I'm all about making green mainstream, and I'd love to help you on your eco journey. So let's get started. Okay, so 2015 in some ways was my most successful, game-changing year in my life so far, and also one of the most challenging and life-changing. In a nutshell, the first half of 2015 was about working out who I wanted to be in this world, the change I wanted to make, and how best I could make this change. The second half was about letting go of the old and coming into the new, being bold, strong, and stepping into my new online space at lauratrotter.com. Now, I always look back on my year that was and plan out the year ahead, but for the first time ever, I've decided to share this with my followers and listeners. I hope as you read or listen to my review, you'll also do your own version so you can set yourself up for an eco-ceptional 2016. So let's get started. At the start of 2015, I was running my eco-parenting retail business, Sustain a Baby, as I'd done for over 4 years up to that point, around my young family. In 2014, though, I'd stepped more into the space of eco-education, and I knew my vision, experience, and passion far exceeded providing new mums with greener alternatives to conventional baby products. I also knew that I needed to be brave and very strategic in this new direction I wanted to take my business, and also be very smart because money was exceedingly tight in my own household. Without a doubt, the biggest highlights for me last year came towards the end in November when I launched both my new website, lauratrotter.com, and this Eco Chat podcast in iTunes. Both have been received so well, and I'm just really thrilled that Eco Chat with Laura Trotter is currently sitting in the new and noteworthy list of iTunes. I have all of you wonderful listeners to thank for that. Thank you so much. So, to take you through how my year in business and life unfolded, I'm going to do a rundown on the highlights and challenges of each quarter, share some of my data with you, and then share a little bit about my future ambitions and directions. I hope you get something out of it. Okay, so 12 months ago, at the start of January 2015, we were still enjoying a family holiday on South Australia's York Peninsula, where I packed my annual planner and set some goals for 2015. February was a month of action, so I launched my new offering Greenhouse, the Home Energy Blitz, that takes participants over 21 days through the process of making small tweaks in their homes that make a massive change to their energy consumption and bills. I also started my weekly Eco Chat segment on regional ABC Radio 639 North and West with Sarah Tomlinson, and I was really enjoying that. Behind the scenes, I was working with my web developer to build a new membership platform for my popular home detox course. I created this course in early 2014 and I ran the first two rounds via email, but it soon became obvious that I needed to step up and make this a premium offering, complete with a membership site to house all the content. so that participants could just continually refer back to it when they needed to. So it was all systems go. On the personal front, at the end of January, I got through the transition of sending my first boy to school. He took it in his stride. I was an emotional mess when I thought that I'd totally be fine. But we got there thanks to some of the more experienced mums in the school community taking me under their wing. On a really painful note though, my father, who I hadn't had a great relationship with in recent times, he lost his home and found himself without a base for the first time in his life. This affected me and my sisters greatly, and we all went through the whole swag of emotions and grief on that. There was also a tragic death in our community. The husband of a friend who I played netball with for years died in a traumatic incident underground at the local mine. He was a much loved larrikin, which is an Aussie term for like a real joke maker. He was like always a laugh of the party, cracking the jokes. Everyone loved being around him. But he was also a much loved husband and a father of three who'd lived in our small town for 25 years, and it shook our close-knit community to the core. The big employer in town, who also employs my husband, also laid off around 80 positions due to the continuing low commodity prices, and our town, which is a population currently around about 3,000 people, and we're quite remote, so a very close community, so our town was plunged into a deep depression. Sadly, we knew that hundreds more positions were going to go at the mine and be announced later in the year, so everyone, including my own family, were feeling under immense pressure. And just we had that awful, anxious feeling of an uncertain future, particularly because we'd bought our house here about 8 years ago, and we knew, well, basically, if my husband lost his job, we'd probably be stuck here because one, we couldn't sell the house, and two, we'd have a really low chance of even being able to rent it out. So it was a really tough time for basically everyone in our community. But moving into April. So April, I launched my home detox bootcamp again, but this time with a new membership site and some new guest experts. And I had my largest number of new home detoxers to date joining up to kickstart their journey to a toxin-free home. I was super busy interviewing my guest experts and holding live Q&A chats with my home detoxers, but I was also loving watching the transformation that so many of my participants were achieving. Namely, clearing up their children's eczema, or even just having the entire family sleep through the night. All due to switching to natural cleaning, pest control, and personal care products, and ditching the toxins in their homes. On a personal note, I guess April was one of the hardest months of the year. My grandmother, my last living grandparent, died at the age of 94. So I headed over to Melbourne to pay my respects at her funeral, and I attended that with my little sister, who I'm really close to. So we came face to face with our father there for the first time in a couple of years, and he wasn't in a great way at all, I guess, especially considering he'd recently lost his home, and I guess this was falling on from, I guess, my parents' marriage breaking up around about 8 years ago, 8, 9 years ago, so it's just been a really rough journey for him and my mum as well. But anyway, we chatted and the communication lines were tentatively opened once more between my dad and me. So as I get older, I realise more than ever that forgiveness enables growth and that family is family. Wounds, however, how hurtful they are, they do stop stinging after a while. Meanwhile, in my own immediate family, we were under intense financial pressure due to my husband being sued for an unfortunate incident where he stood up to authority on behalf of our local community, but he made a naive mistake in the process and had unintentionally defamed someone. So thinking back to Easter last year, it was actually Good Friday, and I stuck up a big poster on our hallway walls, and together with my husband and my kids, they were just drawing on little post-it notes and doodling. Being involved in the process. So together with my husband, we just brainstormed all the different ways that we could improve our cash flow or make some money, as we had thousands of dollars in legal bills to pay. It wasn't going to get paid by us simply selling items on eBay, so we just put up any idea that came to us. I stuck Sell Sustainababy up on a post-it note, and Sustainababy was my online retail business, and I just put that post-it note up on the wall, and my husband said, "You don't want to do that, do you?" And I replied, "No, I don't, but let's talk about it." And we did. And the more I thought about it and registered how I felt, I realized that selling my retail business would not only help our family's cash position, but it would provide me with more time to do what I really, really love, and that's to inspire, guide, and educate others to live more sustainably. The sale would also help provide funds for me to build my new online home. That's my new website, lauratrotter.com. So I started thinking about it a bit more and getting legal and financial advice, and by the end of the financial year, I decided to definitely take this step. And I'm so glad that I did. It never ceases to amaze me that adversity almost always leads to opportunity and new directions. And in a strange, bizarre way, I'm thankful that we were forced to review our situation and make some big decisions. So this quarter, April to June, was stressful and painful in so many ways, but having gotten through it, I look back and see it as an important stepping stone that's helped me to get to where I am right now. As always in June, I did the St. Vinny's Community Sleepout to raise funds for the homeless, and I was humbled when my little business, Sustain-A-Baby, raised the most funds out of all the businesses in town, which isn't a bad feat considering that BHP Billiton is one of those businesses. For the first time ever, I opened up and shared how homelessness had touched my family, our normal, middle-class, educated family in regional Victoria, and how we all need to make an effort to support those who are less fortunate, as issues like mental health, domestic violence, and homelessness don't discriminate. As a result of opening up, I received, not judgment like some would think you'd receive, but I received a heap of love and understanding and comfort in return, which kickstarted some healing in me and more forgiveness and understanding for my dad. Okay, moving right along to July to September. After realizing that I couldn't continue to grow my eco-education products while juggling a family and award-winning eco-retail business at the same time, I put my baby, Sustain-A-Baby, on the market and I started fielding offers of interest. I also started working with my web developer to create my new eco-education home on the web at lauratrotter.com. This was a huge quarter in getting everything ready for my new website, getting the look just right, logos, photo shoots, copy for all the pages. It was a battle having my photo shoot though, let me tell you, since I'd put on weight with the stress of the first half of the year, and my normally glowing skin had also broken out in rosacea, which was another side effect of the stress that we were under at the time. But you know what? I did the photo shoot anyway. Now that I knew what I really wanted to do, which was to create a new eco-living blog, I just wanted to get it out there as soon as possible. Trimming up a little bit could just wait that little bit longer. Meanwhile, we were living under the cloud that my husband could lose his job in the big cut that was about to happen any day now in July. And so we started brainstorming and planning just what we'd do if this were the case. Because as I mentioned, we'd be forced to stay here in a house in outback South Australia where we had a mortgage on, because no houses are selling in town and it's so hard to even rent them at the moment. It was a really hard time to live here. Not only were there big cuts on site, but small businesses in town were going under too, and we were losing basically all our shops as people just weren't spending any money. It was really hard to stay positive. The big cut came and went with hundreds of positions being shredded. My husband was the only person in his small team at work to survive, and at first we didn't know whether to be relieved and happy that he still had a job or disappointed that he hadn't got a payout and, he could stay home or we could travel or whatever. We chose to be relieved and grateful. If you live in a small community where every family has basically one person employed or more at the main employer, you'll know that job cuts and workplace accidents impacts everyone. My son's class at school lost 30% of its students in a month, as did the entire school's population. People had to leave town to either look for more work or take their payout and just travel around Australia in a caravan, homeschooling their kids until the economy improves. Farewelling so many friends who basically were our family, living in such a remote town, friends are your family, and farewelling these friends was starting to take its toll. On a positive note, the outback was in full bloom with brilliant red Sturt's desert peas, and we escaped for a weekend to Whyalla for me to go scuba diving with a giant Australian cuttlefish in their annual breeding event. This was a much needed mini break for our family to get out of the depression that was gripping our town, and I hadn't been scuba diving for a couple of years, I just really needed to get down there. I also travelled north up to Palm Cove to attend a retreat with some women that I was in a business mastermind group with. And I finished the few days up there with an entire day out on the Great Barrier Reef scuba diving with turtles, sharks, just the gentle ones, and brilliant coloured corals and fish. I was in heaven, and I just thank my mum for giving me that day out on the reef because she gifted that to me as a birthday present. All right, and now we're into the last quarter of last year, so October to December. So in this final quarter of the year, I ran another round of home detox boot camp and was overwhelmed once again with the large numbers of women who'd entrusted me to help them to break up with toxins in their home. I won two awards for my efforts in the sustainability education space. So that was silver in the sustainability category of the 2015 St. George Banking Group Ausmumpreneur Awards. And I also won the Flinders University Education Award for the Far North of South Australia in the brand South Australia Awards. And for the first time, I was a podcast guest. So I was interviewed by both the lovely suitcase entrepreneur Natalie Sisson and Carly Nemo of Carlosophies. In both interviews, I shared my business journey and the highs and lows along the way, sharing some of my best tips to help others who are trying to build an online business, particularly when they live in a regional area with not much support around them. October and November were a real blur with finalising the new website and also launching my new EcoChat podcast and, of course, finalising the contract for the buyer of Sustainababy. After finalising the sale contract, I was working super hard to get it ready to move on. I held my final market day stall and celebrated with organic sparkling wine and some organic raw food platters for my local loyal customers who, you know, basically come out every month and shop at my stall and have a chat and everything. I shed a tear or two. Okay, at one moment I totally lost it, but it was kind of understandable. You know, I'd built Sustainababy from an idea to a multiple award-winning and profitable business from the ground up, all while caring for my two young boys. So it was actually while I was packing up the stock to take to the market, you know, when I was putting in products that my boys had used as babies. Okay, not the exact same product, they had their own, but like the same, you know, the same item. It was just bringing back so many memories of when they were little and they'd be at the market stall, or just memories of those first couple of years being a mum. So they all came flooding in. So not to mention that at that last market stall, I was being constantly thanked and hugged by members of my local community. And many of them were customers with babies, and some weren't though. They just wanted to come over and say thanks, you know, for providing just under 6 years of continuous presence at our local market day in our small town in outback South Australia. So personally, this final quarter was just so much brighter and happier. All the excitement of the business sale and launching of my new website and podcast was starting to sink in. And we were just super busy with dance concerts and end of year festivities. So life was pretty fun outside work as well. So to top it all off, we packed up the car and headed away for 3 weeks over Christmas to see family in Adelaide and Melbourne. And we even snuck down to my old hometown of Sale in Gippsland, where I caught up with some old school friends before enjoying a few days R&R down on Phillip Island with my younger sister's family. So that's my year in business in life for 2015. As I mentioned, I always take a look back before looking ahead, and part of this process also includes checking out what content of mine gelled with you the most. So on my blog, although this blog, I said, it's only been up since the start of November, so these stats and data are still pretty new, but my top five blog posts since my website launched, actually my first one is the article I wrote on borax and whether or not it's safe. Number two was macadamia nut shortbread recipe. Number three was my post on how to stay green during the busy times. Number four, my homemade Christmas gifts article where I included my recipe for thieves hand wash. And the last one was six good reasons for a home detox, which I only published last week. So these top five are really interesting, as the most popular post, which is my one on borax, was only written and published 2 weeks ago. On the other hand, my top five most downloadable podcasts were episode four, I'm a Freak, which was an ode to Michelle Bridges, the episode that I actually do some singing in, shock horror. Number two was episode one, my very first one on You're More Eco-Friendly Than You Think. Episode three came in third spot, Why Making Small Changes Are More Sustainable Over Time. Number four was episode two, Eco-Living Versus Frugality, Which Is More Green. And episode five was my fifth episode, The Environmental Impact of Toys. It's really strange because these are all my first 5 episodes, which were released in October and November last year. So I'm not too sure why, but maybe my earlier podcasts are more popular because new listeners just scroll to the bottom and start listening to the podcast from the start, or maybe just because they've been published longer. Who knows? It's a mystery. I've also recently surveyed my followers, and over 100 of you lovely people replied and told me what you wanted to learn more about in 2016. I asked which of a select group of topics that I love teaching about was the most important to you right now, and you've spoken. It appears that you want to pick my brains more on how to incorporate more whole foods into your diet, how to reduce toxins in your home, and how to grow more of your own produce, which I'm so thankful to hear as I've been busy crafting a new offering that I'll launch in mid-2016 along these lines, since they're my favourite topics too and I really love teaching them. You also shared the biggest challenges to living more sustainably, and not surprisingly, time came out on top. I so get this, as I'm a working mum of 2 young kids and my husband works full-time outside the home, and he also plays cricket and in community committees and things like that as well. So time in our household really is a premium, which is why I'll be sharing more tips with you this year on how I organise and plan my own home so we as a family can live as green as possible. Money came in as the second biggest challenge for you guys, and I think this is a funny one because living more sustainably more often than not allows you to save truckloads of cash. But yes, I do get it, as organic food and eco-friendly products cost a premium, and investing in this area is a tricky mindset that needs to be overcome in your eco-living journey. So I'll be taking that in mind when I'm crafting content for you this year as well and give you a few tips there. I then asked, what ways are you currently involved in my community and what's your preferred method of communications from me? My email newsletter and blog posts won in this section, which again doesn't surprise me as I've been blogging for almost 6 years, albeit under my previous brand Sustainer Baby, and my podcast is just a baby, so not many or not all of my followers have come across to the podcast yet. I'm really thankful I asked this question, though, as so many of you have personally emailed me as well saying that you love my blog posts and you don't want them to disappear just because I've started a podcast. I'll take this feedback on board and I'll continue to blog and have some super blog posts on my site this year, and I'll make a concerted effort to have transcripts from my podcast too. This won't happen for my longer Eco Hero interviews though, you'll need to tune in and listen to them in full. But I'll make sure I have transcripts of my regular EcoChat podcasts up on the blog as much as I can for those of you who just want to skim them there rather than listening to an audio while you go about the housework, have a walk, go to the gym, or, you know, driving in the car. And lastly, I asked you to tell me where you live and what age bracket you fall into. The vast majority of you are Australian in between 36 to 45 years. This didn't surprise me either, since like attracts likes, and I'm Australian in that age bracket too. What did surprise me though, that over 15% of you are US-based, which is so incredibly exciting. So, what can you expect more from me this year? More blogging, more podcasts, more interviews, and more of the same, which is cutting-edge eco-education programs that inspire, educate, and guide you towards living more sustainably, because yep, you guessed it, I'm all about making green mainstream and helping you to create an eco-exceptional life that you love. So that's pretty much my wrap-up on 2015 and where I'm thinking of heading more in 2016. Thanks for listening. As always, if you enjoy my podcast, I'd love nothing more than if you opened it in iTunes and clicked through to the reviews and ratings tab and left a review. This helps more and more people find my podcast in the crazy world that's iTunes, which helps me to help even more people to make green mainstream. And PS, in the next week or so, I'll be making a super exciting announcement for those of you who want to make a decent living while saving the world, just because the two aren't mutually exclusive and you don't need to battle on your own. And also keep an eye out, as I'll also be reopening the doors to my popular home detox bootcamp again really, really soon. All the best. Now go out there and help make green mainstream. Thanks for listening to the EcoChat podcast. I'm Laura Trotter. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd love you to subscribe, share with your friends, and leave a review in iTunes. And if you're keen to continue the conversation, head on over to my website, lauratrotter.com, where you can also pick up your free copy of my e-guide, 11 Steps to Ecofire Your Home and Your Life. Catch you there.